an age when very few people have much knowledge of what is contained in the Bible, and yet amazingly, people often quote from the scriptures inadvertently. For example, when they are thinking of a situation that is well nigh beyond remedy, they say, the writing is on the wall. It comes from the Bible. When they're passing on information for which they don't want to divulge the source, they say, a little bird told me. That is from the Bible. When they're thinking of a military situation that's getting out of hand, they say, it's going to lead to Armageddon. The story of the last great battle of Armageddon is found in the Bible. And I suppose that the most of folks are familiar with the story of David and Goliath. And whenever an underdog wins the day, they say, it's a David and Goliath situation. I suppose that Goliath was one of the tallest men in the Bible. He was a man mountain. And yet the shepherd boy with a stone and sling and with the help of God destroyed that giant. If Goliath was likely the biggest man in the Bible, possibly the smallest man in the Bible, was a man called Zacchaeus. I don't know whether you're familiar with his story or not. It's found in the Gospel by Luke and in chapter 19. Zacchaeus was a man who lived in the city of Jericho. He was the chief, the boss of the tax collectors there. And really, he'd been enriching himself at the expense of the citizens of Jericho. He was in the employ of the invaders, the Romans. He gathered the taxes for them. Of course, he creamed off quite a bit for his own purposes. So he was hated and despised. He was a bit of an outcast there in the city of Jericho. And yet one day the Lord Jesus visited Jericho, and Zacchaeus made up his mind he was going to have an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. In actual fact, the Saviour had encountered a very poor man in that city before he came to Zacchaeus. The poor man was a man called Bartimaeus. He was a blind beggar, and he appealed for the mercy of Christ, and the Lord Jesus gave him his sight. And we make no apology for making clear that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, had the power to perform miracles. The fact that he did accomplish these mighty miracles demonstrates beyond shadow of a doubt that he was no mere mortal man. He was the Son of God, come from heaven, and the mighty works that he did proved that he was the Son of God. We urge you to put your trust in him for the salvation of your soul, and in so doing, we want to make clear, you would not be putting confidence in someone who is second rate, someone who is deficient in any way, as the Son of God. He has the ability to save your soul and to forgive your sins, and he demonstrated that he was the Son of God by performing these mighty miracles. And so, at Jericho, he gave sight to the poor beggar, the blind man called Bartimaeus. He not only imparted to him physical sight, but he imparted to him the salvation of his soul. But as he wended his way through the city, he did have an encounter with this man called Zacchaeus. At first, Zacchaeus had difficulties. Because he was so small, he couldn't get near to where the Lord Jesus was. He couldn't see over the crowd. I suppose that he was in difficulties as far as hearing the teaching of Christ was concerned. But the man had a bit of initiative. And so along the road he went and came to where there was a sycamore tree. He shinned up that sycamore tree and sat there, perched, waiting until the Lord Jesus came that way. When the Saviour came to the tree, he stopped. He looked up into the tree. He said, Zacchaeus, make haste, hurry up, come down. Today, I'm coming to your house. And the man quickly descended the tree, and he received the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that quite specifically. He received Christ joyfully. And from that story, I feel there are spiritual lessons that you would do well to learn. What could we say about Zacchaeus? Well, initially, he was a man who was a sinner. In fact, the people of Jericho were so outraged that the Lord Jesus Christ could take an interest in him, they expressed their amazement that he'd gone to be guest with a man who was a sinner. That's how they described Zacchaeus. They said he was a sinner. Well, you might say he certainly was a sinner. If he was swindling the people of Jericho, very evidently, he was guilty of theft. Ah, indeed, he was guilty of theft. And in fact, he tells us himself that he told lies about people to get money out of them. So he was a thief. He was guilty of the sin of covetousness, and he was also guilty of the sin of lying. Now, these two sins are serious sins. The sin of covetousness is a very prevalent sin in the age in which we live. people long for more and more of this world's good. The gambling industry has taken off to some extent, and men and women seem to be ensnared at times by the gambling bug. But you know, within every heart there's a desire for more of this world's good. The Lord Jesus did say, "What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Wherein is the value of accumulating wealth in this world, or accumulating the things that money can buy, if at the end of it all we leave it behind and go out to meet God unsaved, unprepared, to be banished from his presence for all eternity? So the sin of covetousness is a besetting sin in our society, and yet it is a sin that could damn the souls of men and women for all eternity. And then I did say that Zacchaeus was guilty of the sin of lying. And again, it's another very, very common sin. Some people say, "I only tell little white lies." Well, from God's standpoint, there is no such thing. They are all as black as coal. The Bible says that God hates a lying tongue. That is his attitude to lying. And there is not one of us who could hold our heads high and say that we have never, ever told a lie. And so just as Zacchaeus was described by his fellow citizens as a sinner, so the Bible describes us as being sinners. And as such, we need God's forgiveness and we need his salvation. So the man was described as a sinner. The way the Lord Jesus described him was this. He said he was lost. He said he'd come to seek and to save the lost, and in the context, the man who was lost was Zacchaeus. He'd strayed away from God, he'd wandered from him, and so, from God's standpoint, he was lost. So he was a lost sinner. Now, every one of us are that by nature, and every one of us, by practice, along the pathway of life, we are lost sinners. The Bible says, "All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to our own way." So, we are lost sinners. But the thing is, Christ has set himself to find us. He said he'd come to seek and to save the lost. Of course, in order to save the lost, the Lord Jesus Christ had to die on the cross. He illustrated his search for the lost when speaking of himself as a shepherd. He said he was a good shepherd. He told a parable to the effect that, well, we are all like lost sheep, but he set out as a shepherd to find us. But of course, in order to find us, he had to give his life in sacrifice. He said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." So to save us and to forgive us, his life was given in sacrifice. His precious blood was shed. The price was paid by the shedding of that blood so that we could be rescued and brought back to God. So just as Zacchaeus was a lost sinner, so the Bible depicts us all as being lost sinners, in need of a shepherd and a saviour, and the one whom God has provided to be that shepherd and saviour is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. You might say that he died 2,000 years ago. Well, it is true that as the good shepherd he died, but the Bible tells us that he is the great shepherd, and the great shepherd was brought again from the dead. In other words, the one who died on the cross rose from the dead, and it's because he is alive. He can, as a shepherd, enter your life and rescue you and save you so that you'll no longer be a lost sinner. The thing is, if we continue without him as lost sinners and reach the end of life's journey, still lost sinners, then we'll be lost for all eternity, irretrievably lost. No hope of salvation then, no possibility of pardon and forgiveness then. So if you're aware of the fact that, like Zacchaeus, you are a lost sinner, then even today respond to Christ. The Bible says of Zacchaeus that he sought the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him when he is near." So we all need to seek the Lord in the sense that we have to turn to him, repenting of our sins, believing in him to save us from our sins, committing ourselves to him as our shepherd, our sovereign, our friend for the pathway of life. I wonder if, like Zacchaeus, you have sought the Lord Jesus Christ. I indicated to you that verse of Scripture says, "Seek him while he may be found." In the case of Zacchaeus, Jesus was passing through Jericho that day, but he was passing through Jericho for the very last time. It was a good job that Zacchaeus encountered him that day. Never again would the Saviour be in Jericho. Within a very short time, he was going to be nailed to the cross, and his life here in this world would be over. So I say again, it was a good job for Zacchaeus that he sought the Lord while he could be found. Now, as far as you are concerned, the Lord Jesus could be found by you today. You could turn to him, you could trust him, you could receive him today, but he won't always be found. God puts a deadline on your opportunity of being saved. You don't know how near the deadline you are. When you die, the opportunity of salvation will have gone, and none of us know how near death we are. The Bible says we don't know the day of our death. I don't, you don't. Hence the importance of being prepared for the great eternity by seeking Christ in repentance and in faith. That's what Zacchaeus did. He sought the Lord Jesus. And as we sometimes say, a seeking sinner will always find a seeking Saviour, and the Lord Jesus encountered him that day as he was perched up the sycamore tree, and he said, Zacchaeus, hurry up, come down. Well, when he did come down, the Bible says he received the Lord Jesus joyfully. You need to receive the Lord Jesus. Receiving him means believing on him. The Bible makes that clear in the Gospel according to John chapter 1. It says, as many as receive him, to them he gives the right to become the children of God. And he goes on to say, it's to those who believe in his name. So he equates receiving him with believing on him. So I urge you to receive Christ by believing on him. And like Zacchaeus, you'll benefit from receiving him. The Word of God says Zacchaeus received the Lord Jesus joyfully. Everyone who receives Christ does it joyfully. The Bible tells a story about a man who did come to Christ seeking for eternal life, and when the issues were put to him, and when he was faced with the choice of what he would do as far as Jesus Christ was concerned, the Bible says he went away. But it adds this, he went away sorrowful. So people who receive Christ do so joyfully. People who reject Christ reap a sad harvest of misery. Now I'm sure that you want to be joyful in this life. I'm sure you want your life to be contented, to be happy, to be fulfilled. Well, while the Lord Jesus brings to you salvation that fits you for heaven, at the same time he imparts to you a richer quality of life for this present time. The Bible calls it eternal life. The Saviour said, I'm come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. He wants you to enjoy that abundant life. He doesn't want you to go through life miserable. He doesn't want you to go through life with regrets about the past and fears about the future. He wants you to be joyful. And so like Zacchaeus, if you receive him, you'll receive him joyfully. But if you reject him, then you'll go away sorrowful. And of course that sorrow will extend right into eternity. The Bible describes hell as a place of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Now, you need never experience that. You could today come to know the joy of salvation, a joy that will extend right into the great eternity, when in the bliss of heaven you will be with Christ and enjoy the sweetness of his presence forever and ever and ever. And so Zacchaeus received the Lord Jesus, and it transformed his life. I did tell you that at the start of the story he was so covetous, selfish, greedy. And yet at the end of the story he demonstrated that he really had been saved by Christ when he said to him, I'm going to give half of my money away to the poor. And if I've defrauded anybody, I'm going to repay them four times what I've taken from them. So he really was a changed man. I don't want you to misunderstand now. He didn't give away his money in order to be saved. But by giving away his money, he was showing that he had been transformed by the power of Christ. You see, the Bible says if anyone is in Christ, if anyone is a Christian, they are a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. And the life of Zacchaeus was changed dramatically when he received the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we sometimes sing a hymn which says, it is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. So what God did for Zacchaeus these centuries ago, he can do for you in this day and age. He can change your life. He can transform it by his power, but you must be willing to receive Christ as Zacchaeus did. I urge you to do it today. The Lord said to that little man when he was up the tree, make haste, hurry up and come down. I say to you today, hurry up as far as trusting Christ is concerned. Don't trifle with this crucial matter. Realize there's urgency about getting saved and getting right with God. None of us know what's round the corner. None of us can take a lease on our lives. Hence the importance of making the matter of our soul salvation a top priority. So, you be like the little man of whom I've spoken and receive Christ. And do it swiftly. Do it today. Get right with God and do it now.